Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 8th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the checks and balances brilliantly. The supreme law of our land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is the guide. That is the solution. The checks and balances are brilliant. If we embrace them as the American people, we can have success in restoring the republic. Our greater numbers can be the solution of the day. Yeah, they want to promote the crisis of the day. We want the solutions of the day. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one issue at a time. There's so much going on. I'm on the road. Dr. Bradley's in studio. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. I mean, it's always good to see you're letting no moss grow. I mean, you got to keep moving, don't you?
Got to fly, got to run, got places to go, people to see, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Because the sacred cause of liberty is that important, and so I've got things to do all the day long, 6 days a week.
Absolutely.
Do I literally carry the ball, and on the seventh I try to take a rest and just stop and only do the essentials and spend time with my family, and I try to make every weekend a God, family, country weekend. I try to make every work week a centered on God work week where I get the stuff done I have to support my family, but the rest of my time is spent in the pursuit of God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property. It's kind of a strange anomaly in America today, but I find the cause worthy nevertheless. So there you have that. It's a little warmer in Tulsa. It's supposed to be in the 70s and kind of raining, so it's not too bad. Spring is springing a little bit more in Tulsa than it is where I hail from. Is it freezing cold there, Dr. Bradley?
Well, we're mid-teens this morning.
Well, then 32 degrees is freezing cold, right?
Well, no, I'm in mid-teens. I'm talking it's probably edging up to the higher teens now. I mean, because it's been a little while since I got up. But, it's fresh out here, although we don't have fresh snow.
So you're admitting it's global warming, then when you got up it was colder and now it's getting warmer and stuff. I see.
That's right. It is warming. So I guess they got some
last
right.
Last night it was cooling, though, by the way, right?
Say again?
Last night it was cooling, though, by the way, right?
In fact, we're approaching another ice age as I retired last night. So I don't know. It's kind of one of those cyclical things, I guess. You know, sun comes up in the morning, goes down at night. Usually the temperature goes down when the sun does, and the solar activity has always been a thing, and these things about oceans and what the sun does to the – I mean, you know, it's just – it's a cycling thing that God ordained and established.
It's very complex and very simple. The details are complex, but the point is simple. God's in charge, and it's not a train wreck tomorrow, I promise people. Yes, we can cut ourselves off from God, and we can have some eternal consequences that we suffer. I get that. But it is not a train wreck. All is not lost. There's a lot of good happening, and don't let them tell you any different. They just want to bring you down. We don't seek for power. We seek to pull it down. That's who we are. All right, I did my take of the Union State of the Union address yesterday, Dr. Bradley, second hour. I went off and I did my own State of the Union address, second hour. So, March 7th, 2024, second hour yesterday. It's available in archive at libertyroundtable.com. I went off almost for an hour on my State of the Union speech. And I explained in detail exactly what I think and why and what we can do to fix it and what the problems are and what the solutions are. And I really drilled down. And so if anybody wants to check that out, they can go check it out. It's yesterday's second hour show. You can also read the show notes, although it doesn't cover the details that I covered. It just kind of highlights that I did my own State of the Union. And my State of the Union is quite a bit different than Joe's last night, Dr. Bradley. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you know, every Thursday night for years, I've been doing a live and in-person World Wide Web question and answer
real
session.
Real time.
It's real time. It absolutely is. So last night, concurrently, I mean, we started the same time old Joe started, and I was not able to observe his presentation. I suspect I've got a pretty good idea what I think he talked about and what – I mean, I had done some review of what they anticipated and all that kind of stuff, too. But honestly, I'm very interested in your take. If you got a chance to look at it, and I'll chime in if I've got any thoughts. But it was interesting that the State of the Union address itself came up during the questions that came up during the Q&A that we were doing, and so I did get a chance to comment on what I thought the comments would be. And then Katie Britt, senator from Alabama, first female senator from Alabama, gave a Republican response. I was able to get in on a little bit of that because I'd finished mine up, and I was not wowed, but maybe you'd looked at that too. Maybe, you know, hey, I'd be interested in your comments.
All right. Well, my comments, you got to listen to my State of the Union yesterday, which really had nothing to do with Joe. It was just an opposing view that I brought to the table. Okay. Whenever I bring up problems, I bring up solutions. So mine was clearly a State of the Union address. I basically said the State of the Union is absolutely in dire straits, and the only answer to promote and to solve the problem is to promote God, family, and country in that order. And here's the thing you can do in your relationship with God. Here's the things you can do in relationship with your family. And then here's the things that we need to do related to the country. And if we did all those things, we'd be self-governed, and we wouldn't need governors and governesses and all this kind of stuff. We'd be free to live as we choose. And Americans could be great, but they've got to have the fundamental George Washington-esque pillars, the indispensable pillars of religion and morality, and without that we're in trouble. And anyway, at the end of the day, we pointed people to God, family, and country, just like we do on the radio. And but we highlighted a lot of the details. On the other hand, Joe had a little more of a combative attitude. Joe came out of the gate kind of being out of control, talking about the shrinking size of a Snickers bar. We'll get into that in just a second. But here's some takeaways from Joe Biden's speech. He opened the speech with a fiery denouncing of the, quote, pro-Trump rioters that stormed the Capitol on January the 6th. Then he singled out Trump, but yet he wouldn't name him. So he says, my predecessor here, and so on. So he wouldn't really speak his name. But it's a disgrace, though, ladies and gentlemen. It's an absolute shame because he literally, there's so many people in America that he absolutely assaulted, family, friends, loved ones, by this statement that it's an insurrection at the Capitol. It's not, and it was proven not. They tried to say because you committed an insurrection at the Capitol, you can't even be on the ballot. And the court said, no, that's not right. He hasn't been, he hasn't been proven guilty of anything, even though you guys want that to be the case. So the battle's on about that. But he starts out with that, coming out swinging, in my opinion, in a very bad way. And then he basically says this. He wrapped it into a larger theme of saying our democracy, it's threatened like no time since the Civil War, singling out the attack that he will be using during his campaign. It is now Joe versus Donald. And so he's kind of taken swing at that. He also criticized my predecessor. Again, see, he doesn't name him. He just says my predecessor, for Trump's assertion that Russian President Vladimir Putin can do whatever the heck he wants to in respect to NATO allies. And he implored Congress, listen carefully, to pass additional aid for the Ukraine, begging for a ton of money for the Ukraine. Now, there's a big contrast between Joe's, quote, internationalist view of the world and what they call Trump's isolationist view of the world leading up to his predecessor. Biden used almost the entirety of his speech to find ways to try to persuade Americans about this contrast. Anyway, when asked about his age and how it affects his ability to be president, he said, watch me. There you have that. So I find that kind of interesting. He's taken on. He wants abortion on the ballot. The president said efforts to restrict abortion rights were an assault on freedom. And he wants to push for a Supreme Court overturn. Anyway, he went on and talked about abortions and how he's, pro-death and stuff. He went on and talked about Obamacare. Back to my predecessor. He said the Affordable Care Act, also known as, quote, Obamacare, is awesome. And he talked about it being an incredible win for him and Obama. And Donald got shut down. And boy, howdy, is he right about that one. Even though I don't like the outcome, I'm just saying it's true. The Democrats had their way with the Republicans on health care. They promised to do something about it and absolutely dismally failed. And hate to say it, Donald Trump with them. We talked about the war in Gaza. He talked about middle class. Joe, he's just a middle class dude. Anyway, interesting talk. One of the things he did at the end, or you know, towards the end of the speech, he talked about shrinkflation a lot. He just said, "Hey, there's a little less Snickers in your candy bar there, Dr. Bradley, just so you know. A little less Snickers in there, Joe." Kind of find that interesting.
Well, you know why that is? I mean, the Fed and its printing of money.
Go ahead and skip the break, will you, please? Go ahead, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, the Fed and the printing of money and the deficit spending and what's happening. We've got more dollars chasing less things, and they had to shrink the size of the package, or they had to raise the cost, and they shrunk the size of the package. But the fact of the matter is that, this State of the Union address is really a political campaign address. It's the first one really he's given, I think, in this whole cycle that we're on. I think he's... It is a tragic travesty that it becomes politicized, the agendas and everything else like that. But one thing that kind of strikes me about some of the things you've said here is that everybody seems to think there needs to be a government solution for something. There is no single, solitary consideration of the fact that government has very limited powers in terms of that. They're the biggest... baddest force on earth, mortally anyway, but that's what the founders knew. They knew that government was not eloquence, it wasn't reason, it was force, and it had to be constrained. And so that's exactly what the Constitution did and should be doing. And what it was is it said, here are the areas that government should be involved in. And if you'll read the 10th Amendment, it says, you know what? If we didn't give you the power, general government, you don't have it. And the Ninth Amendment says, oh, by the way, everybody retains all of their God-given rights, whether we mention it or not. But see, so it's an incredible turned-on-its-head kind of mentality that says government is involved, imposes, impinges on everything, and that people really are kind of secondary to that. And everything that's being talked about, you know, largely both by the Republicans and the Democrats, sadly, there's in almost everybody that talks about government, in your city council meetings, in your county council meetings, any of those kinds of things, everybody wants a government solution to everything. What about being free to choose our path? That's the way America started out. In fact... Tocqueville, when he came and reviewed America, boots on the ground, went all across the land, visited, you know, innumerable sites, it seems like, looked at our prisons, our courts, looked at our farms, our churches, looked at our government agencies. I mean, they went across the land, and what he discovered was almost nothing's illegal in America. You don't have to have a law for everything. People are constrained by their internal compass of looking to God. And he was just amazed. He had come from post-French Revolution France, and, you know, there's as everybody becomes more vicious and debauched, they need more rulers, and so that's kind of where France was, and he was amazed in America. You don't have a law for everything. You look to God.
And the Tocqueville's exactly right on that. You don't need a law if people are self-governed and obey the laws of God, starting with the Ten Commandments. I highlighted that in my State of the Union address. But in my opinion, the State of the Union address has really become the biggest yearly fake news, propaganda-driven political theater events in America today. I mean, that's really what the State of the Union address has become, Doctor.
It is a theater.
It's absolutely a clown show begging for money.
And a facade. And the thing is, I call it a pep rally. And I got to admit, I mean, if I hadn't been on my webinar last night, I probably still wouldn't have listened.
No, it was absolutely a pep rally, though. You had Republicans. There were standing ovations. Republicans were loving it. People were clapping. To his credit, at least, Mike Johnson just sat there and kind of shook his head over and over like, no, 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 no. But yet nothing really... explosive happened. The Republican response was kind of weird. Donald Trump has his, they're calling this is kind of interesting, Trump's, quote, prebuttal. So I didn't do really a prebuttal as much as I did my own State of the Union, but Donald literally called out Joe's lies. Here's Donald Trump's rebuttal to the State of the Union.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created. All the while, they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe Third Agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good that gave us this best border. According to Tom Homan, according to Brandon Judd, the top people, they said it was the single best border we've ever had in recorded history. What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettled them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years, Crooked Joe Biden, and he is crooked as you can be and the most incompetent president we've ever had, could have called off the invasion. But to this day, he is keeping the hordes of illegal migrants and illegal aliens pouring into the country. By the time his term is up, we can have close to 20 million people in our country. And we have no idea from where they come. We have no idea who they are. They have no identification. Many come from mental institutions. Many come from prisons. They're terrorists. We have a calamity the likes of which we've never seen before. The very first bill Joe Biden sent to Congress was a plan to turn illegal aliens into voting citizens. That's just what we need. No matter what Crooked Joe says, his actions prove his priority is to import a colossal new illegal alien population and let them all stay. My priority is securing our border and sending Crooked Joe's illegals back home. Likewise, the sight of a feeble Joe Biden talking about shrinkflation, the term he uses, is one of the most ridiculous things this country has ever seen. Shrinkflation is just another way of saying inflation. It means that you're losing a lot of money because these people don't know what they're doing. It was all caused by Crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him, and they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country, the likes of which we have never seen before. He and the communists and his party looted trillions of dollars from you and spent it on illegal aliens and the Green New Scam, triggering the highest inflation in many, many decades. If your packages are getting smaller, that's the reason why, under my leadership, there was no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. It's time to tell Crooked Joe Biden, you're fired.
There you have it, Dr. Bradley. Do you want to respond first?
I think he was on fire. He was trying to fire Joe, but he got on fire. You know,
yes, he did.
It's so phenomenal to me that he pounded so many nails home in such a short speech. I mean, normally he kind of tends to drift and pause and take time talking about some, you know, love of this or that of the military or whatever. But man alive, his speechwriter, I think, prepared a very cogent talk that covered a lot of the issues. He was on a campaign speech also, I mean, unequivocally.
That's right.
But the State of the Union address, I think, should have a higher standard. I think the State of the Union address, as we've mentioned, is truly a pep rally. It's a partisan rah-rah, here, this or that. I've always been an opponent of pep rallies. I think there's a frenzy. I think there's a mob mentality that comes into there. I think that there's a
As long as it's under the peacefully assembled idea, then we support it 1,000%.
Yeah, I don't care if people have pep rallies for their high school basketball games. That's fine. I just don't need to go participate. But the fact of the matter is, the First Amendment stuff, this stuff about peaceful assembly and freedom of the speech and freedom of the press and write a petition, all of that kind of stuff had to do with preserving liberty. It had nothing whatsoever. It was never intended to have anything to do with, you know, profanity or profane or lewd or anything else like that. And so, yeah, but people have taken that First Amendment and they've spun it into a web of deceit that has left behind the real reasons behind it. Yeah, but what happens in the pep rally called a State of the Union address? It's supposed to be a report. The president, as the executive of the nation, is supposed to bring a report. Now, by the way, Jefferson started a written report, is what he did. All the partisanship and all that Bravo Sierra just was basically lost, I'm sure, in the printed word. It was a report about what was going on in the nation and not something that was a rally to get people to come out and riot in the streets or whatever. I mean, come on. The Bravo Sierra that was put forth, it sounds like, in this, was basically inflammatory in many instances against good and caring Americans that are doing what they can to try and restore the foundation that's been basically undermined. And it's not just Biden. I got to tell you, I have to take some issue with some of the things Trump said. No inflation? Are you kidding me? I mean, he really added dramatically to our deficit. How do we get a deficit? We borrow money. How do they get the money? They print it. Well, sometimes not literally, but it causes
inflation, though. The adding more money to the money supply. Is inflation in itself. It's a hidden tax.
It is. It robs from everybody. And Trump hugely contributed to the inflation thing. And much of it had to do with his warp speed stuff that he started for the shutdowns and the all of the
Donald just printed money and borrowed it to pretend it didn't exist. Joe's got it half in your face. And Americans are suffering, and so you can spin that lie. But the principles are being violated in both cases. There's no question about that. I think Donald was right and on fire for most of what he had to say. I think when he says we've had the most secure border in the history of our nation, I don't believe that at all. When he says, some of these different things, that there was no inflation under his watch, the economy was incredible. Not when you put honest money into the mix, it wouldn't be. So I agree that Donald was better than Joe, and I agree with a lot of the points that Donald made. But on the whole, I think he took a lot of credit that I don't think is accurate. He talked about 500-plus miles of border being completed. I don't believe that necessarily either. It all depends on, we repaired some fence and we did this and that. But, you know, does that count? You know, we believe that he was going to build from scratch a whole brand new shiny wall. Now, I'm not really a wall builder necessarily, because walls can keep people out as much as they can keep people in, and that's kind of the problem. But I understand the general need to protect our nation from terrorists and ne'er-do-wells from coming in en masse and creating an invasion, and that's really what we've got. So Joe's wrong on this, and Donald's completely right on that, except for him, he kind of wants you to believe he's done more than he's done, which is where I kind of find his comments disingenuous. But the general points that he's making are right, and he's very good at that. Very good at making the right points and getting you in his camp, but yet not following through as we would hope he would, or we would expect him to, Doctor.
Well, absolutely. I felt like his talk, again, I did not hear the State of the Union talk, but I'm generally disappointed with him, as we've said so many times already, with the whole demeanor and tenor. We are far less quality than we should be getting from that. But Biden... He gave a political talk. He gave a campaign talk.
Yep, you're right. And they said it was one of the most political State of the Union addresses delivered ever in American history. We'll talk more about it with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. President Biden says the State of the Union is much improved from where it was in the depths of the pandemic after he took office.
Remember the fear, record losses. Remember the spikes in crime and the murder rate, raging virus that took more than 1 million American lives of loved ones, millions left behind.
Biden touted his administration's efforts to pull the U.S. economy out of the COVID slump. He says he plans to continue that.
America's comeback is building the future of American possibilities. Building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down.
Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt offered the GOP rebuttal Thursday night.
One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch.
While speaking from Montgomery, she said Americans deserve a leader who is not diminished. The first-term Alabama Republican is the youngest woman in the Senate. U.S. Capitol Police say they arrested a Gold Star father for heckling President Biden during his State of the Union. The man's son was a Marine killed in the hasty pullout from Afghanistan. TikTok users are inundating members of Congress with phone calls, urging them to oppose a bill that might lead to the eventual prohibition of TikTok in the United States. USA's John Schaefer has the story.
TikTok has raised alarms about the potential shutdown of the Chinese-owned app due to national security concerns. The platform is now directing users to contact their representatives in Congress, urging them to vote against the bill. This development follows the unanimous advancement of a bill by the House Energy and Commerce Committee Thursday. The bill proposes that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, must either divest from the app or face a ban in the United States. Lawmakers expressed concerns that the Chinese government could potentially access the personal data of American TikTok users.
This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I got a couple of clips from the Joe Biden speech last night. Here's the first one I want to play. Listen to this, Dr. Bradley.
I was smart. I go home now.
So he tells a little joke. How smart, I'd go home now. But he shows how stupid he is because he stays, right?
Mr. Speaker, Madam Vice President, members of
he
Congress,
welcomes everybody and goes
my fellow
on.
Americans, in January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation, and he said, I address you at a moment unprecedented in the history of the Union. Hitler was on the march. War was raging in Europe. President Roosevelt's purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people that this was no ordinary time. Freedom and democracy were under assault in the world. Tonight, I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas at the very same time. Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop
that, this guy basically wants you to believe Putin is the boogeyman. I think Putin is a bad guy without question. Let's not think Putin's great. But the fact is, Joe Biden is the one that's fomenting war around the world, backing and promoting the Ukraine. He then talks about piece 108 here. He's talking about this. He goes into the details. He welcomes everybody. He first refers to World War II. Then he goes right to the current war we're in and says we're in the same situation. We're experiencing problems home or at home and abroad. But here's he uses democracy and freedom as if they're the same thing. He's completely ignorant of the truth that we're a constitutional republic. But then he basically wants to arm folks. He wants to, you know, be the purveyor of violence. Here he is at section 108 here.
Wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Now, a bunch of claps. Wow, they love it. Look at that.
Now
thunderous
my predecessor,
clapping.
A former Republican president tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader, I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable.
Huge claps, I love it. All right, go ahead and pause. So the bottom line with this is you look at this, and so he's tied himself now to two wars, our war and the World War II so far. He's tied himself to Ronald Reagan. Believe it or not, Joe must be on serious meds. He's delivering a killer speech. Now, it's not that I agree with the speech. I'm just saying he's done very well. Tie himself to a Republican leader. Paint Trump as the guy that's crazy and out of step with even Ronald Reagan. Pitch him as the, you know, Joe Biden as the Ronald Reagan guy. And then he literally wants to arm these people. Here's the next clip that I have really quick. Oh, that was the 253. Okay. Anyway, he basically says we need to arm these people. We need to just arm everybody and go to war and back the Ukraine. And it's got so then he turns into a begging for money. Dr. Bradley, do you want to respond to any of this?
Well, yeah, I am absolutely. This is okay. This talk was pre-published. I did not have an original in my hands prior to the thing, but it's available now. And everything that he's saying is a beat the war drum, expand the global world. He goes on after what you just did here to talk about the expansion of NATO, and that's largely the cause of this whole Ukrainian disaster, along with the coup that we did as a nation in 2014 that Obama and Biden had their hands in. NATO is being expanded. I mean, Finland joined last year, and Sweden's now in. I think that Sweden's the 32nd country. Go back and read the NATO alliance treaty. Basically, it says we go into any war anybody gets into. We are the tripwire. We are the bodies that are going to be stacked on this. Our blood, our fortune, and our sacred honor is going to be put at stake on these things. And when the Iron Curtain basically crumbled in the early 90s, the United States said they would not expand NATO. NATO has been expanded incessantly since then. We have marched 1,000 miles, 1,000 miles. Look on a map in the United States. I mean, think for a second. If you're in San Francisco and you march to Salt Lake City, you've come less than 1,000 miles. That we have walked closer to the front door of the Soviet Union. The Russia said, we're drawing a line. You're not going to let it happen. We are the cause of this thing. And it's all, and NATO is absolutely. It's a regional arrangement under the United Nations that does the bidding. It's a military arm of the United Nations. And we clear everything we do through the Security Council of the United Nations. We did that in CETO, too, when we were in Vietnam. And that's why the Vietnamese always knew, long before troops on the ground knew what was going to go on. The fact of the matter is, it's a globalist perspective, and everything that happens is to promote the globalist expansion. And so Biden here is touting this idea. Who wants to have American troops die for Swedes? I mean, they're good people, but we, it's unconstitutional to do that. The Finnish, Montenegro, I mean, pick your poison, whatever you want. Nobody brings anything to the table but the United States, and we are becoming the tripwire. And he goes on after this, that last clip that you played, to tout this NATO alliance expansion. Putin, if you listen to the Tucker Carlson thing, he approached Bill Clinton, and says, hey, maybe we want to join NATO. And it's like, no, I don't think we're going to do that. But the fact of the matter is, there has been opportunities for us to walk away from the belligerents over the years, and we never have. And I'm just appalled as I'm skipping through this talk here about this, the references to democracy. Holy Hannah. Democracy.
It's out of control, but it gets worse because he backs all kinds of globalist agendas. Here he is at the 343 mark now. This is Joe Biden.
America is a founding member of NATO, the military alliance of democratic nations created after World War II to prevent war and keep the peace. And today, we've made NATO stronger than ever. Welcome Finland to the alliance last year.
Just
this morning, Sweden officially joined, and their minister is here tonight. I'm going to stand up.
There you go. Your expansion is being highlighted as a complete success.
Welcome,
nothing
welcome,
but claps
welcome.
And support from the Republicans.
And they know how to fight. Mr. Prime Minister, welcome to NATO, the strongest military alliance the world has ever seen. I say this to Congress. We have to stand up to Putin. Send me a bipartisan national security bill. History is literally watching. History is watching. If the United States walks away, it will put Ukraine at risk. Europe is at risk. The free world will be at risk, emboldening others to do what they wish to do us harm. My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away.
All right, go ahead and stop that. Dr. Bradley, that's a flat out, in my opinion, call for blatant war, is it not?
It is, indeed. I mean,
because if you come in and say we will not walk away, then whatever we drag you into, whatever we do, all you can do is arm up and you know, put boots on the ground, and all you can do is accelerate if you keep your promise, right?
We're bristling with weapons. The NATO treaty, I'm going to read here, The parties to this treaty reaffirm their faith in the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations. That's in the specific right underneath the title of it. Skipping down a little. We will refrain in your international relations from the threat or use of any force in any manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations. What is it there for? It is there to become a global government. Article 5, we can maybe cover this.
Go ahead and skip the break. Continue, Dr. Bradley.
Okay, Article 5 of the NATO agreement says the parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America shall be considered an armed attack against them all, and consequently they agree that each of them will assist the party or parties so attacked by taking forthwith such action as deemed necessary, including the use of armed force. Okay? And then they got to, after that, in the next paragraph, they got to immediately report their actions to the Security Council. Okay? The Security Council is the overseer of NATO. We have subverted our national sovereignty. Wars we enter into, how we fight those wars, who we use in those wars, what weapons, whatever, is subverted to a globalist government that is not our friend.
All right, listen to this next one at 5:20. Liz, 5:20 is where you want to go. 5:20. He throws down the gauntlet even further for war, and he will not bow down. Listen to this clip.
I will not bow down. In a literal sense, history is watching. History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. When insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood.
All right, go ahead and pause that. So, Dr. Bradley, that's what he's saying. He's literally bringing up the Civil War over and over and over. War over and over. I will not bow down. I will not capitulate. He's ready to take on the whole world, including you as his citizen.
See, the thing is that this is a fear-based mongering that happens constantly if we're going to basically have the tyrants that will be the leaders of the people. Let's just another quick quote. This war thing, whether it's internal or external. Let's talk about something that Madison said towards the end of his life. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germs of every other. War is the parent of armies, and from these proceeds debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Okay, so internal and external war is what the theme of this is at this point, and as the warning of Madison so pointedly points out, is that this is how, well, okay, let me, so here's another one, a statement he made. this was a statement made during the convention, 1787. He said, a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. So this idea, let's basically, you know, put all of our military forces together. I'm really quite concerned that we're developing.
I am too. Now listen to the time marker 6:27. Here's Joe again throwing down the gauntlet, agitating for war even more. Here it is.
We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is the moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win. As I've done ever since being elected to office, I ask all of you, without regard to party, to join together and defend democracy. Remember your oath of office is defending against all threats, foreign and domestic. Respect free and fair elections. Restore trust in our institutions. And make clear political violence has absolutely no place, no place in America, zero place.
All right, go ahead and pause that. Then why are we letting Ray Epps go and ignoring that? And why are we, you know, basically just pinning it on a few patriotic people? And now they're escalating, Dr. Bradley, they're escalating arrests on January the 6th now. They've got a journalist in jail. They've got, or not in jail, I guess he got released, but he got arrested. They've got all this stuff going on. Joe is agitating for war at home and abroad. As far as I can tell, he's blatantly calling for war domestically and abroad. Now, is that an overstatement, you think?
Well, I think that he's the antithesis. Everything he's saying here is the antithesis of what he's done. He says, as I've done ever since being elected to office. What in blazes has he done since he got elected to office, except full sort of mumble through his breakfast or whatever? You know, I mean, it's one of those things without regard to party. What party's the absolute center of everything he does in his life. It's a deep state driven agenda. Join together and defend our democracy. Well, if you listen to Marx and to Lenin and to Mao, democracy is a stepping stone to communism. Yeah, I think he's maybe doing that. But the founding fathers didn't believe that. So he says, let's defend our country against all threats, foreign and domestic. I absolutely agree. What are our threats? Oh, well, we got this border invasion going on. We're squandering our sovereignty to the United Nations and to United Nations subsets like NATO. We're giving our arms away. We have a real arms shortage right now in one of the critical key components of anything, any war that's going to go on, is 155-millimeter artillery rounds. We are in a dire shortage right now because everything we've shipped to Israel and to Ukraine. It's just the antithesis. He's speaking lies, pure lies. That's all I can say.
All right, here's the next clip where he doubles down now on murder. He loves abortion. He loves murder. He wants to promote murder every way possible, and here's the proof.
Like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right. I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader defending reproductive freedom and so much more. Thank you. My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it. Look at the chaos that has resulted. Joining us tonight is Kate Cox, a wife and mother from Dallas. She's become pregnant again and had a fetus of a fatal condition. Her doctor told Kate that her own life and her ability to have children in the future were at risk if she didn't act. Because Texas law banned her ability to act, Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed. What her family got through should have never happened as well, but it's happening to too many others. There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look, it's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that.
All right, there you go. You can pause that. So he's literally reading his note cards. His note card didn't, you know, he said power. Then he's like, oh, it said political power. So he had to back up and say political power. This is where he is. He's literally promoting murder. And he's now mad because the states are trying to stop it. This epic battle is on. It's a culture war. And Joe, in my mind, is on the wrong side of it. He's on the murder side of it, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there's so many things that could be discussed about that. First of all, there's this thing we call the Declaration of Independence. These God-given rights things. Life is the first one mentioned. And the Founding Fathers from the very beginning understood that abortion was wrong. I mean, the writings of Blackstone in the Commentaries on the Law, first volume, very clear about it. It was manslaughter. It was a heinous crime. And they knew that. They understood that. Now, he throws out some things out here that are, if you want to think about it, fringy things in the sense that there's an old aphorism in politics that the hard cases make bad law. If you make your law so draconian that
yeah, and what he's doing is using all the exceptions as his rule, right?
That's correct.
Because he knows that's where he can gain ground.
Sadly, however, though, I foresee, and we're going to have to kind of track this, and what do I know, but the fact is that I believe we're going to have more aborted babies in the coming years than we had when people were going to clinics to have them done, because we have these abortifacient kind of potions that they sell, and we've talked about CVS and Walgreens offering them, and people being able to, you know, in the privacy of their own home, go kill their own baby before it's born. I predict that we're going to have more of those situations than we had previously when you had to physically go before an abortionist and have an abortion performed, sadly. So there are some states that are outlawing that. There are some states that are legalizing it. And as he said, my God, what freedoms will you take away? I would say, how long can God stand by and weep as his children?
You're right about that. So listen to 11:22 after, Dr. Bradley. I want to get this in before the end of the hour. Listen to this.
People, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose. I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
Wow.
Folks.
Go ahead and cut it off. What do you think of that,
okay,
doctor?
It never was the law of the land. It was a usurpation. It was wrong. It was as wrong as the Dred Scott decision, when black people were basically mandated by the Supreme Court they could never, never be citizens. This is a the Supreme Court gets it wrong, and the old Dyte v. Let's go back to the 1957 ruling, when the Supreme, well, in 56, they ruled that the Constitution could be overruled by treaties. They get it wrong sometimes. They get it wrong, and they've been getting an awful lot wrong. And so this idea that the Supreme Court said that Roe v. Wade was the law of the land, it never was.
It was a lie. It's against God's law, therefore it's null and void, ladies and gentlemen. It's also against the supreme law of the land. There was no delegated authority on the federal level to commit murder. Ladies and gentlemen, let's call a spade, shall we? That's hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his incredible website. Check out his collegiate series to preserve the nation, his incredible webinars weekly and more, freedomsrisingsun.com. Lovingliberty.net, our website. Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride. God save the Republic of the United States of America.